It's so good to see you. Welcome everybody that's in the building. It's awesome to have you. I love that people come and are a part of this. And I also want to welcome those of you tuning in online. I love that you connect digitally and you are also a part of this. So no matter where you're watching from, no matter where you are, I just want you to know how much we love you and how much we appreciate you being here. Would you guys just give it up for those that are connected digitally? Love you guys. Welcome. I just want to welcome all of you. If you're a guest with us, I just want to say welcome especially. Our heart is for you just to feel right at home. We want our house to be your house, so you don't need to be a guest any longer. This house is yours. If you're tuning in for the first time online, I'd love for you to let us know that. If you'll drop it in the chat, we would just love for our people to rally around and say hello and welcome. Our heart, again, is just to make you feel like family. So as you saw from our news this morning, we're going to get started in a brand new sermon series we're calling Fully Devoted. I'm really, really excited about it for a lot of reasons. And one of the reasons is I really feel like God has been taking our church family just on a journey together. And it's amazing to me how sovereign God is and just the way that he can direct and order our steps and really take us to places in our faith. Take us to places in our walk with him. And I feel like this series is one of those. So if you were with us last month, and if you weren't, this isn't to make you feel left out. If you were with us last month, you know that we were in a series where we were really talking about sharing our faith boldly and just the ability, like, what does it look like for me to communicate my hope and my faith in Christ in the spheres of my influence and the world that I live in and wherever it is that I am? What does that look like? And so we did our best to just equip our church with tools to be able to do that more effectively. Today's series is exciting because we're going to talk about being fully devoted. What does that look like? And so what you get the opportunity to do, I feel like anyway, I hope this is exciting for you, is that I want to just pull the curtain back a little bit if I can. I want to invite everybody behind the scenes some, and I just want to kind of talk to you about what got us here. And so here's how I'll set it up. I think, personally, this is my opinion, but I think the Church on the Rock staff is some of the most unbelievable, powerful, awesome, anointed people in the world, and I love working with them. I really, really do. I mean, our team, I'm telling you, is amazing, and I don't want to make you jealous or anything like that. I just love the people I get to wake up every day and go to work with. That's like, and I know that some of you don't have that joy. I do, and I really, really love it, and I just love the trust that we have with each other, the interaction that we have, and I love the conversations that get started. And so here's where we are, is that as a staff, as a team, really as a church, we ask ourselves very tough questions. We really do. And so let me say it this way. Our heart at Church on the Rock is not to entertain you, ever. Like, it is not my goal. We're not trying to be the coolest show in town. We don't want to have the fanciest whatevers. Like, it's not what we're trying to achieve. I don't know if this is true or not. It's just what I believe. I actually don't think the church will ever out-entertain the world. That's bold, but that's what I believe. So I'm not trying to. What I'm trying to do is connect people to something that is so real, so powerful, so authentic, that the world just becomes less interesting. And so what we do as a team is we're constantly asking questions, and the questions that we're asking is this: is what we're doing working? So, like, we don't want to put services on just to entertain, just so that people come. That's not really the idea. The idea is that if we host a service, are people actually encountering God? If we put life groups together, are people actually taking steps toward freedom? If we provide all access, are people actually discovering what God designed them to do with their life? So we ask tough questions. And I'm going to be honest with you, it makes it really hard sometimes, because sometimes there are questions that are very, very hard to answer. That's how we got here to this series, because we were in a staff meeting and we were just talking about, you know, what God was doing. And something that we often do is we looked back toward the purpose statement of our church. And this is where I want to start today. So our church exists for a reason. And so some of you know this and some of you may not. But this is our purpose statement as a church. And it's simply this: we exist to reach people with the life-giving message of Jesus, that they may become fully devoted followers of Christ. Like, this is what we're here to do. We have a mission. We have a purpose. And I'm going to actually break this down a little bit. I'm going to bring you into the conversation that birthed this series. You're going to notice right here, there's this semicolon, and that's really important, actually. How many English students do I have? You loved English lit. Come on, where are you at? I had no support in the first service. They were all science math people. Thank you. I need some people on my side in this service. Can we? This is important because the first half of our purpose statement is exactly this. We exist to reach people with a life-giving message of Jesus. In other words, like, we want to share the gospel, the hope of Christ. It is worth sharing. I'm just telling you right now, like, I just want people to know the hope that I found because it's changing my life every single day. And so I just feel compelled to communicate that to others. And so as a team, we're constantly looking like, are we reaching people? Is it working? But then there's this back half of our purpose statement, and it simply says this, that they may become fully devoted followers of Christ. In other words, we don't want them just to hear the gospel. We don't want them just to make a decision to enter into a relationship with Christ Jesus. We actually want them to go on a journey with him. And what does a disciple do? They follow Christ. They walk with him in this journey. And so the question came up, and here was the question that was just sort of, honestly, it was almost off the hip, just sort of thrown out in a staff meeting. I couldn't get it out of my mind. And so our staff spent all last month in every staff meeting of the month trying to answer the question that was asked, what does fully devoted look like? What is that? Because the fact of the matter is, if we exist to reach people with the life-giving message of Jesus so that, in order that, they can become fully devoted followers of Christ, how do we know if it's working? Like, we want to, like, how do we measure full devotion? Am I making sense? And that was the question. And it just hit me in a way that I couldn't stop thinking about it. And so I said, we just need space in every staff meeting to answer this question. And we just went around the room. And I would, like, Timothy, what does fully devoted look like to you? And he would talk, and I would write. Aldrich, what does it look like to you? And he would talk, and I would write. And Lorene, what do you think? Everett, just all around the room. And we'd write, and we just created this dialogue. And so the entire series, Fully Devoted, was born out of the heart of our staff. And so that's why I'm not going to be the only communicator in this series. And this is why you're going to hear so much of this content. It didn't come from my heart. It came from the heart of our team. And I'm very, very excited. So staff, you guys are awesome. You're rock stars. And I love you so much. Thank you for being awesome. Thank you for always pushing to make sure that what we are doing is effective. I love it, and I appreciate you guys so much. And here's what we're going to do. Like, today's message is going to be the title track of the album, okay? I'm just going to overview this series. I'm going to kind of show you where we're headed over the course of the next several weeks together as we start to unpack what does it look like to be a fully devoted follower of Christ. Let's get started. Are you ready? Say ready. Good, good, good. I can hear you because this service doesn't have as many masks on. All right, so let's just kind of break it down. I'm going to just show you sort of how we think. So the first part of our purpose statement is that we exist to reach people with the life-giving message of Jesus. This is derived from something. So, like, we didn't just come up with this haphazardly. It came directly from the words of Jesus in the Great Commission. In Mark 16:15, he said, I want you to go, and I want you to tell everybody, like, tell them all about me. So this is the reach people side. Proclaim the good news. In other words, tell people the hope that you have. Tell them about it. So we, hey, great. This is a role. This is an expectation. This is a call from God. So we exist to reach people. We just want to tell everybody. You tracking? Listen, if you want to know more about that or, like, how can I do that more effectively, go back to last month's series. You can find it on our website. Find it on YouTube. It was called Stand Out. And we just honestly tried to offer our church tools. Here are tools that you can use to help you share your faith boldly in your everyday lives. All right, but then there's this back half of our statement, and this is where the question came from, that they may become fully devoted followers of Christ. What is that? Like, what the question is, what does it look like? Here's where this comes from. Again, not haphazard at all. It comes from the other portion of what's known as the Great Commission of Jesus. When Jesus said in Matthew 28, therefore go and do what? Make disciples. What does a disciple do? They follow Jesus. They walk with him. So they don't just believe in him, they journey with him. A disciple would want to take on the characteristics of who they follow, and so we want them to experience the fullness of God, baptized in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and all that stuff. Like, we want people to experience God in his fullness. Amen, everybody? This is our heart. And so the question really became, like, what does that even look like? I'm going to give you a quote that I think is very, very powerful. It's this, that some people lack passion because they lack a cause deserving of their devotion. Whoo! Maybe you have felt like this before. It's like, man, I want to have something like to give my life to, and I want to live with passion. I think people are always looking for purpose and passion and all of these things. And I just want to declare something boldly that I believe with all my heart is that the cause of Christ is worth giving our whole lives to. It's worth my devotion. It's worth dying for. Jesus did. And so the question is, what does fully devoted look like? Here's what I love the most, is that, quite frankly, we didn't just come up with some things that we think fully devoted looks like. Because we all had responses. So when I went around the team and I said, well, what do you think? And they would talk and I would write, what do you think? And I would write. Every single one of them was biblical and godly, but they were different. People have different perspectives, and people have different backgrounds and walks of life. And so what I love the most is that the Church on the Rock staff didn't just come up with, like, you know, our best effort of a few out of all the examples. Here's what we actually did. We just found what the Bible has to say about it. Come on, because that's the absolute truth. Say amen if you believe that. And so I want to take you to Acts chapter 2. And this is the very beginning of church as we know it. So Christ Jesus, I'll back up, my super student's trying to read ahead right here, all right? So Christ Jesus has died on the cross, gone into the tomb. He's risen from the dead. So the stone was rolled away. Jesus steps out. He's ascended up to his heavenly Father. The Bible tells us he's seated at the right hand of God and he's praying for us. Like, here's what I love. This is how I feel about that. Like, he gets it. He's like, yeah, I've been there. It isn't so easy. So he prays for us that God would empower us to do the things that God is calling us to do. And so this is that moment. And so now all of a sudden what's happening is, in light of this life-changing reality that Christ Jesus has paid the price for people's sin, it has formulated an excitement. And then the church, again, as you and I know it, is thus born. And so we're going to go to some of the earliest accounts of what that looked like, and here's where it is. Acts chapter 2, we'll start in verse 42. Notice this. The Bible says that they did what? They devoted themselves. So we're trying to answer the question, what's fully devoted look like? And we're getting a picture of devotion right here out of the text from God's word. They devoted themselves, the Bible says, to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And then look what happens. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. What I want you to see right here is cause and effect. Check this out. It's like this beautiful circle of repetition. What we have are some people that encounter the hope of Jesus. It's so transformative, they just devote their whole lives to following him. Their devotion generates a certain way of life, a certain way of thinking and believing. That devotion becomes so compelling now to the people that they are around and the people that are engaging with them in the community and in their workplaces and in the marketplace and all that stuff, that all of a sudden they're attracted to that. Like, tell me more about the hope that you have found. And then what happens is more people then are giving their lives to Jesus, and then more people finding it's a cause worthy to devote yourself to. And all of a sudden we see this beautiful thing of the way the gospel works. So it reaches people, it causes them to be fully devoted, which reaches people and causes it. Do you see it? It's a beautiful thing. And so what we have is cause and effect, that when I encounter Christ and then I devote my life to him, it's just compelling toward others that I also want to live this way. So we're going to have a working definition for our entire series of devotion, all right? So devoted, I'm going to define it for you, is to continually give one's self. To continually give one's self. This is being devoted. So example, how many of you guys came to church one time before, and then you went a second time, and then a third time, and then, right? What were you doing? You were just continuing to give yourself to going to church. Or maybe you prayed once, and then you prayed again and again and again, right? This would be devotion. I'm very devoted to mealtime. I just continually give myself to hot wings. Come on, amen, somebody. You get it. And so in the context of our series, this is going to be our thought pattern that when it comes to my devotion to God means I'm just going to continually give of myself to the heart of God. Now, I want to go back to Acts chapter 42 with you. And again, my English people, all right, you're going to like this, okay? You're going to like it. I want to show you some things. And again, this is like I'm just covering where we're going in this series. I want you to notice some things as we look in Acts chapter 42. And what I want you to notice are all the conjunctions. And is an example of a conjunction. In other words, things are connected together by this thought. Watch what happens. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship. So there's some stuff they're continually giving themselves to. Are you tracking with me? They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold their property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And then the most important conjunction of all starts a sentence, which, by the way, I didn't think you could do until I did some research this week. I was so bothered by it that I did research this week, and I stand corrected. You can start a sentence with a conjunction, and this is an example. I hope my English teachers are not throwing stones at me. I did some research. I'm a pretty smart guy. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So this continuation that I'm going to continue to give myself towards some things is going to have a cause and an effect on how God can use me, how my life can impact others, and the kind of influence that God wants me to have in a spiritual way. And does this sound amazing? However, there's the tension. However, if you're anything like me, and I read through Acts chapter 2, verse 42 through 47, and I read through there, and I see all these conjunctions, this and that and this, and that, and the other, and this thing, and that. Here's what starts to happen in my natural mind is I immediately start to get overwhelmed. And here's what I do. Now listen, I'm just going to speak from my own perspective, and I prayerfully hope that it connects to some of you. What starts to happen in my mind is that I'm like, hang on, Josh, you just read it like 90 seconds ago. I don't even remember half the things you read, and now you expect me to continually give myself to that? It sounds like a lot. It's a lot of things to do and to continually give myself to over and over and over. And I don't know, man. Like, I like church. I do. But I'm not really the best when it comes to praying. I run out of things to say in about 3 minutes. But my friend, I mean, you should hear her pray. Oh, my gosh. She could pray for days. It's unbelievable. And I just don't know if I have that. And then, man, I'm not sure that I even fully understand certain things. And here's what can start to happen in the minds of people is that we start to freak out and backpedal just a little bit because we're like, I don't know that I'm capable to actually be fully devoted. In other words, I'm not sure I can measure up to all that. Woo, am I preaching to anybody? And so then what happens is we start having these negative thoughts that start to think more like, well, my goodness, I mean, if I can't be fully devoted and if I can't live up to everything, then I might as well not do anything. Because I don't want to be a disappointment. And so what happens is the enemy starts to work against us, and all of a sudden we hear a different voice and some lies are starting to be told that you'll never measure up. You'll never be able to pull it all together. You're never going to be able to do that and do that and do that. No, no, no. That's only for the people that work for the church and the preacher and the leaders of the groups and that. Like, you, that's not you. And here's what we do. We start to grab all that pressure and expectation, and we start putting it on ourselves. Can I just put your mind at ease, everybody? The Bible says this very plainly. All have sinned and fall short of God's glory. All of us. You, me, the person to your left, the person to your right, the person whose coffee you just refilled at home, la-di-da-di, everybody has fallen short of the glorious standard of our God. All of us have. So having understood that, there must be more. So here's what I'm going to give you a statement. If you're a note taker, you're going to like this. I only have two today, but I'm going to give you a statement. Okay, check it out. Listen, I don't do these things to be a Christian. I do these things because I'm a Christian. There is a difference. And what Satan wants to do is get us into a wrong way of thinking. And the thinking that he wants us to buy into is that I've got to earn the right standing that I have before God. That isn't true. So I'm not going to be fully devoted so that God will accept me and so that he'll be pleased with me and so that God can give me a little gold star and say, well done, good job, I'm going to put this on the refrigerator for you. Like, this isn't how it works. So me living a life that's fully devoted to God is not something that I'm doing to earn right standing with God. It's something that I'm doing as a result of my right standing with God. Amen. I'm preaching good. I really am. And it's not because I'm good. It's because the Bible's good. Amen. That's a terrible thing to say. I should not say that anymore. Really shouldn't say that. I want to show you some things, though, okay? I want to show you something. Because I'm just personalizing this. I'm going to just tell you. I have this truth. Maybe it's a deception, but I have this thing on the inside of me all the time, that I honestly feel like I've got to overcome. And what it is there's this inner mantra, voice, cadence, constantly going on inside of my mind that says, for God to like me, then I must perform well. All the time. I have to pray enough. I have to read enough. I have to prepare enough. And so what happens is I get in my mind this thing. And it's a lie because it's from the enemy. And anytime he's talking, he's lying. The Bible says it's his native language, is lying. And so what happens to me is that I start to get in my own mind this thing that I almost, and I know it's not true of God, but there's this sort of inner thing going on the inside of me that makes me almost believe that it's God, that I feel like God's always trying to give me a deduction. So like, man, that message didn't really come out very well. You probably should have prepared more. Deduction. Maybe it's because you were tired last night, and when you would have spent more time in prayer, you didn't because you fell asleep early. Probably should have prayed more. Deduction. Hey, when you spoke to that team member and you were trying to coach them and point out a blind spot, something they could do to serve people better, and you mishandled it, you didn't really communicate that well, and you probably hurt their feelings. Shame on you, Pastor. Deduction. And this is what I know. Happens to me. And I imagine happens to you. So, let's just go back to truth. Let's just go to truth, can we? Here we go. I want to show you something. 2 Peter 1:3, some of you need this. You need to memorize it. You need to write it down. You need to pull out your smartphone, take a picture of it. You need to screenshot it if you're watching online, whatever it is. Because I want to show you something that the Bible says, which is truth. The Bible says this. It is by his divine power. Watch. God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. Some of you, you don't need to hear anything else I say. Everything I said before didn't even matter. That sentence is your breakthrough. That's the freedom that you need right now, is to stand on the truth of God's word. So I need it. So every time I feel like God's giving me a deduction and he's not pleased, I know I'm being lied to, because his word tells me this, that it's his power, not mine, that gives me everything I need to live a life that pleases my heavenly Father. It is his strength, not mine. So when I get myself into a place that I feel like I need to perform more. I should prep more. I should pray more. I should serve more. I should give more. What I'm doing is I'm taking the weight of a responsibility that isn't mine to carry. It is His. Which is why He says, my burden is easy. My yoke is light. This is why He's trying to say, give me what is mine to carry. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you everything you need to live a fully devoted, godly life. And I'm going to do it by my power, not yours. So I don't have to be staggered back at a list from the Bible and say, I don't even know if I can remember it, much less live up to it. No. Because what's going to happen is I've just decided that I'm going to go on a journey with God. Fully devoted is just a walk. What I'm going to do is I'm saying, God, I do believe in You. You are the hope of my life. My eternity is safe and secure in You, and I believe that by faith. I want to be fully devoted, and I want to live a life that impacts others, and I want to do the things that look like godliness, so I'll just go on a walk with You, and we step by step by step build relationship and depth and hope with a heavenly Father who says, hey, little by little, I'm going to give you the power that you need. You just keep walking with Me. And then all of a sudden, you're going to have transformative things happening in your life. And it's not because you're good enough. And it's not because you're performing well enough. And it's not because you're some rock star. It's because you're closely connected, your heart to mine. And it's my power that I pour out into your life. And look at what's happening in you. Can you see it? So if I wear a fully devoted responsibility on me and I leave out walking closely to the heart of God, I'll fail. So here's what I want to do, and here's how I want to close. We're almost done. I want to close here. I'm going to show you a prayer from the book of Ephesians. It's in the New Testament of the Bible. It's a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to a certain church, but it's just good truth for the church. It like really works for us. Today, if you come to step one of All Access, which is where you really kind of learn about our church and what we're about and all those type of things, I mean, we do everything we can to answer all your questions. Then we have team here. We answer any of them we didn't answer or whatever. And we feed you, by the way, so if you're hungry. I'm just saying. And you'll hear me. I'm going to actually talk about this prayer. Paul writes in his letter, this is what he's saying. And I want you to take it personally, like as if he wrote the letter to you. What he's saying is, I've been praying for you, and I've been praying these things. Now, in step one today in All Access, you'll hear about those things. I want to point out one thing, though, at the end of his prayer, the very end of his prayer, that he emphasizes that I think is perfectly appropriate for the launch of this series. And it's this. It's found in the book of Ephesians. It's chapter 1, verse 19. And look, he's saying, so he's been in a prayer. But I also pray that you will, everybody say this word with me, that you will understand. The Apostle Paul is trying to clarify something, that, hey, I've been praying for you, and the thing that I'm praying for, I need you to have an understanding of something. In other words, it'd be easy for your mind to teeter in the wrong direction. I need you to understand something, to be confident, to stand firm in something. I also pray that you understand the incredible greatness of God's power for those who believe in Him. What the Apostle Paul is saying is like, hey, I get it. Honestly, it's what I'm trying to convey to us, because I think I need this as much as you do. And what I'm trying to compel and convey is this, that my mind switches sometimes, and I try to do it in my strength and in my power. And then that's when I get demerits, and I'm not good enough, and I don't measure up, and I fall short. But when I stand in who I am in Christ Jesus, whew, made right with God, not because of the things I do, but because of the things that Jesus did on the cross for me. The significance of His sacrifice and His blood that seals, the Bible says, my relationship with Him. In other words, you can't get out of it. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated Him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Like, this is it. This is what Paul is saying, church, and I'm taking this personally. I'm going to say it like this. Josh, I need you to understand something. It is not you. It is God's power. So when you feel like you're not performing, you're not living up, you keep falling short, you need to get near the heart of God, because you are his son, you are his daughter, you are safe, you are secure. He loves you. You want to live fully devoted? It is going to be by the power of God that you do that. Here's my statement as we close. Okay, again, note takers, I know you love it, all right? God has given me the power to live a fully devoted life. God gave me the power to be fully devoted. So I don't have to be on the front end of our message where I'm like, boy, that's a lot. I don't know if I can do it. God's empowered me to do it. I can confidently advance forward knowing, God, you're going to give me everything I need to walk the way you're calling me to walk, to become everything you're calling me to be a fully devoted follower of Christ. God, you're empowering me to do it. It's not by my might or my power, but by the Spirit that I can live a fully devoted life. With every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around, please. I recognize that this is our most attended service of the week, not only in the building typically, but certainly when we combine it with our online family. And so as I stand before you all, no matter where you are receiving this content, here's what I really recognize is that all morning, I've really only spoken to those that are Christians, those of us that follow Christ. And what I recognize is that maybe there are people in the room or tuning in online, you're not a Christian. You've never made the decision to give your life to him or to walk with him. And so I've really not said a lot to you, and I'm aware of that, but right now, I want to talk only to you, actually. Because here's my hope and my prayer, is that while I was just talking about the power of God that works in the life of a believer, that it was magnetic and interesting to you. You seem compelled and drawn in. And here's what I want you to hear me say very clearly and very candidly, that this hope, this power, this love, this journey, it's available to everybody, including you. It doesn't matter where you came from or what your story is or how checkered you think your past is. Listen very carefully. You're not disqualified. You might say, oh, but you don't know my story. Well, it doesn't matter. God knows your story. And salvation's available to all of us. In fact, the Bible says that while we were still sinners is when Christ died for us. In other words, he came for you in your worst of situations. And so in this moment, what I want to do is, when I'm speaking to those of you that have hung with me all morning and you're like, man, I don't know, I want to invite you to make a decision today, truly, to start a relationship with Jesus. Can I tell you something? Just from personal experience, it'll transform your whole life. I'm just telling you. He changes me all the time. It wasn't like one time and then I was fixed. It's like God's constantly just unearthing things in me and beckoning me to just journey with him further. And what I see is his hope and his character just materializing in my life more and more. And what I also know is that I'm surrounded by dozens and dozens of people who have experienced that same power. And I just want to communicate to you and say, hey, I would love for you to make the same decision and find the same hope, walk in the same power. So if this is you, I want to give you the opportunity to do that right now. And I'm not going to ask anything of you except this, to just choose right where you are, no matter where you are. Just make a decision. Make a decision to put your hope and your faith in Christ Jesus. The Bible says that if we believe in our hearts and we confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. I love that promise. And so whether you're in the building or again, you're tuning in online, I want to help you to do that. And so we have sort of a habit, a cultural thing we do here at Church on the Rock, that I always say a prayer and ask people to repeat it after me that want to receive Christ for the first time. But I always ask our church family to say it with me. And the reason that we do that is for you, really, is so that you can be confident and comfortable. I want you to be able to say it with boldness, because this is a big moment between you and God. When it comes to your next steps, we want to help you to do that. And we can clarify what those look like. But right now, just one thing, one decision. Let's invite Christ into our hearts. Let's step into his fullness and his power and see the transformative hope that he has. Cause us to become fully devoted followers of Christ. So church, I want you to help me if you would. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. I just want you to repeat after me. I want you to say, "Dear Jesus, I give you my life, all of it. Come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. Wash me. Cleanse me. Make me new. All that I am is yours. In Jesus' name, amen." Amen.